Hello, Dick. Well, it's the story that just won't go away. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. What is the latest over there? So what, he's refused to become the highest paid player in the NFL for the moment?
Yeah, obviously there's a twofold problem with Aaron Rodgers, and only one part is the money. We guess we didn't realize how angry he was at Green Bay, and he plays things pretty coy. We knew there was something wrong there, but you know, Aaron Rodgers would be someone that I would expect to maybe play a little more angry than he actually is, and then show up for the season. Just because he turns down the contract doesn't necessarily mean he's demanding a trade and won't play for Green Bay this year, but it does mean that there is a rift, without question, between the two sides, and Green Bay has to make a decision. I mean, Green Bay either has to play hardball and say, you know, Aaron, you're coming in, you're a Green Bay Packer, you're under contract, and kind of force Aaron's hand to come in, or else obviously he sacrifices every penny of his massive contract if he doesn't play this year. Or Green Bay just cuts their losses and says, all right, we're going to offer you up there, and you know, what are they going to get? Are they going to get 70 cents on the dollar, 75 cents on the dollar? Because obviously they don't have the leverage in this situation in an Aaron Rodgers trade.
I was about to ask you, Dick, what can they get for him? Do they get first-round draft picks, and how many? Or is it one first-round pick, one second-round, one third-round? What would the likelihood of putting him up for trade get you?
Well, they would obviously look for multiple first-round draft picks. You know, the rumors out there for Russell Wilson was three first-round draft picks. Aaron Rodgers isn't worth that much because Aaron Rodgers is quite a bit older than Russell Wilson is. So you have to start with Russell Wilson's price tag, at least the reported price tag. We don't know for a fact that that's what was offered for Russell Wilson, but we do know that the Seahawks turned down whatever was offered for Russell Wilson. I would assume that Green Bay would look for two first-round draft picks and probably a player. I don't think they would necessarily get that. I think they could probably get definitely one first-rounder and probably, like you mentioned, you know, maybe a second and a player, something like that, because you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's only worth going to a team that's on the cusp of winning a championship. It's kind of like the Tom Brady situation. I mean, Tom Brady, there was no chance Tom Brady was going to a team that was going to be mediocre. He was going to a team that he knew was tailor-made and ready to go. And so, you know, Green Bay is, they're only going to get legitimate offers from teams that are going for a Super Bowl. And it's kind of interesting. The first team that came to mind to me was, God, the Indianapolis Colts. They would have been the perfect team to trade for Aaron Rodgers, but they already made a deal for Carson Wentz. And it'll be interesting to see, do they just say, okay, we already got Carson Wentz, but we can do better than Carson Wentz, and we're going to trump Carson Wentz by going to get Aaron Rodgers? That would be an interesting deal, because you know, they are certainly a team that's a quarterback away from a championship. There are a handful of other teams that are a quarterback away from a championship, but some of them are stuck under bad contracts with their own quarterback. I mean, look at the Steelers, for example. How good would the Steelers be with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But they're stuck with Ben Roethlisberger, paying him a lot of money, so they can't go get Aaron Rodgers.
Well, what's his body like, Dick? Can he go and play well into his 40s like Brady, or has he only got a couple of seasons left, do you think?
Brady is a unicorn. Brady takes care of his body unlike most human beings. So no, he's not going to be Brady effective in 6 or 7 years from now. But I still think there's no reason to think that 2 or 3 years of Aaron Rodgers at near MVP level is out of the question. I think you could absolutely get for the remainder of his contract what he's been giving. You know, I think part of what he gave you in 2020 was because he was ticked off. He wanted to show the world how good he was. And, you know, and when Aaron plays it with a chip on his shoulder, we can see how great he can be. Is he going to have that same chip if he's traded? Is he going to have that same chip if he plays for Green Bay this year? It's tough to tell. But he's, at the very least, he's a top five quarterback in the NFL. At the highest, he's the number one quarterback in the NFL. So he's somewhere between 1 and 5, depending on how he plays this year.
By the way, on Tom Brady, just a couple of texts from our listeners. How tough is Tom Brady? Plays the season with a bung knee and still wins the Super Bowl, and now Tampa are in trouble for not declaring it at the start of the season to officials. And ask Dick if Tom Brady turned up to the White House today with the Gronk.
I think they did. That was the schedule. I did not see whether they did or not, but I believe that was on schedule to meet with President Biden. The Brady situation is fascinating, playing all that time and basically the entire season with a partially torn MCL and part of the season with a completely torn MCL, and still you would really never know it by watching him perform last year. He was absolutely fantastic. The Tampa side of it is interesting. I can see both sides of the story. Certainly, you need to disclose injuries. That's the rule of the NFL. If someone's injured, you're supposed to disclose it on the injury report. However, Tampa's argument is this. Well, Tom Brady never missed a practice and never missed a game. So why should we disclose an injury on the injury report that is not impacting the status, the playing status of our player? And I think that's a fair argument. So I'm not sure if Tampa is going to get punished for this at all. Now, if Brady were to miss practices, if he were to have missed a game for a reason and that was not disclosed, then obviously they would have gotten hammered for that. But I think Tampa's got a good argument. Is it an airtight argument? No. So they could still get punished for it. And, you know, it probably a fine would be their punishment. I don't think it would be anything, particularly since he didn't miss practices or games. I don't think it would be anything like a draft pick forfeiture or anything like that.
Dick, the Olympic Games just around the corner. What's the build-up been like in the States? And what's expectation, I guess, over there?
I guess it's similar to most. I mean, it's funny because most Americans really don't talk about the Olympics until they start. Mm. And then they're like, oh, this is fun. This is enjoyable for about a week. And then they get bored with it. And then they only pay attention to, you know, the elite events, the 100-yard dash, the 50 freestyle, maybe the 200, you know, the 400 freestyle relay, you know, your gymnastics. They pay attention to gymnastics. So there's a handful of things that Americans will pay attention to. The timing is perfect because it's right before football starts. There's nothing else for Americans to watch right now. If it was in the middle of football season, it would be a disaster ratings-wise. But NBC is hoping, and I was talking off the air with Nick about them putting some of those high-profile events at prime time here in the United States, so that'll certainly help as well.
What about your basketball team, mate? Will there be much interest in them, given the build-up hasn't been great? They've lost a couple of games. And is the expectation still to win gold?
Oh, the expectations are still clearly to win the gold. I think the women have a better chance than the men do, but they both should still be favorites. A great win for Australia last week against the women's team. I think the problem is, and there was a little bit of panic, and rightfully so here in the States, about both teams after some of those losses. I was talking to PJ Carlissimo, who is going to be calling the Olympics on radio for us here in Westwood One. He's also been calling the NBA Finals for ESPN. He says, yeah, it's just a complete lack of practice. It is these guys, many of them either were ousted from the playoffs 2-3 weeks ago or didn't make the playoffs, so they're 5-6 weeks, and they have been exhausted. They played the entire 2020 season in the bubble. They had a very short turnaround. They played the entire 2021 season, and then they shut down. I mean, they just shut down for 4 or 5 weeks. Let's just rest the body, try to recover here, and then ramp back up for the playoffs. So you're throwing a bunch of those guys into a pot without any practice. They have had four total practices, Team USA right now. Four total practices and four games, and they went 2-2 in those four games. So there will be a significant improvement from both of those teams over the next 2 weeks. And it should be enough for both to win the gold medal. I am more confident that the women win the gold medal than the men, although I would still say both should be the favorites. Although, like I said last week, I think the men were like 1-6 last week. I'm not throwing $600 on the men to win $100. I'm going to stay away from that bet.
Well, today you might throw $100 on Milwaukee, $1.50 with Tab Phoenix, $2.65. Is it the Bucks in six today in the NBA Finals? I mean, what have you taken out of this series so far? Game five was crazy.
Game five was fantastic. And we've got a couple of iconic moments over the last two games, guys. The block in game five of Giannis on DeAndre Ayton. We are going to be watching that for 20, 30 years. the rip, the Drew Holiday rip of Devin Booker, and then going down, you know, right down the middle and having the presence of mind, and let's face it, the guts to throw a lob pass where you need a bucket. It wasn't like they were up two and this was just like icing on the cake and sent Phoenix home crying. They needed that bucket. And he threw a lob to Giannis Antetokounmpo for the jam. I mean, that was an incredible sequence. Best sequence I've seen, I think, really, those two plays, best sequence I've seen in the finals since that famous LeBron block of Andre Iguodala a few years back. I mean, that's type of the level that people are talking about those two plays. As for the series, I've told you all along that this is a 50-50 type series and that Milwaukee was the value, but Phoenix had the home court, so I was a little bit over 50-50 that Phoenix was going to win. Well, now we have a situation where if you put the money on the value of Milwaukee, now you can turn around and bet big-time plus money on Phoenix, and I'm a conservative gambler. That's kind of what I do. I already have the Milwaukee plus money in my pocket. Now I can go back and get Phoenix at serious plus money, and I can't lose either way. I have a tough time. I hope Milwaukee wins. I'm cheering for Milwaukee to win. I'd love to see them win in six games. That would be another six-game series like we talked about a couple weeks ago, right? They just keep coming in six-game series. Mm. That would be great to see. Although, how awesome would a Game 7 be? This series has turned into a fantastic watch. It was boring for the first three games. Absolutely boring. One-sided. Terrible. Last two games have been awesome. This would be great if we could have a Game 7. It's tough for me in a 50-50 situation because these two teams are almost identical as far as overall strength. Tough for me to believe that one of those teams can win four games in a row. You just don't normally win four games in a row when it's a 50-50 coin flip each time. So, you know, I think this is going to be a great game tonight. I can't tell you who's going to win tonight. I would say if you took my advice at the beginning and bet Milwaukee on the plus money for the value, flip around and protect yourself and pick the Suns because I think they're like plus three something to win the series right now.
I'll tell you what, you'll be excited about the NHL expansion draft tomorrow, won't you? How important is this going to be for Seattle?
We are putting together. I encourage you, hopefully, that you can turn it on the, I believe it's on ESPN2. You know, Seattle is going to be shown in a brilliant light. We've seen your city so many times on worldwide broadcast with the, you know, the sunset over the Harbor Bridge, and it's just, you know, yours is a spectacular city. Seattle's is as well, and they're going to show off very, very well. We're going to be doing our show live from Gasworks Park, which is right on the lake, overlooking the skyline. It is just going to be absolutely phenomenal. I mean, just imagine if you were kind of like posting up, you know, at the Opera House or something with your show, and you had the harbor, you know, circular key and all the buildings in the background. That's what it's going to look like for Seattle for the world to see tomorrow as we find out which players are going to be on our hockey team. We've got lots of legends stopping by to read the names of the players that are going to be selected. So it's just going to be a big celebration of the city, and they're going to have a pretty good team. We've seen the unprotected list, and there are enough good players that the Kraken should have a very good shot at the playoffs. I don't think it's going to be a situation like Vegas where they can go all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals in the first year. But, you know, I think Seattle's going to be a very, very formidable team here right off the bat.
Well, mate, you enjoy that and enjoy the start of the Tokyo Games as well. We'll chat next week.
Sounds good, guys. Sorry I couldn't give you more of a tip on this NBA Finals, but it has been just when you think that one team's got it, the other team, you know, comes and rises from the dead. It's tough to call.
Yeah, it's been fascinating. Great stuff, mate. Thank you.
See you, boys.
And Dick Fain there. And yeah, today, $1.50 Milwaukee. Phoenix, $2.65. It's a flat line of $5 the minus as they chase their first NBA title, only second overall. They won it in 1971 and lost the finals in 1974. Phoenix, of course, have never won the NBA championship and have been beaten in the finals on two occasions. Coming up after 6:30, we're going to speak to Adam Pengilly and Phil Moss as well. Get Mossy's full Football Olympics preview with the Matildas to play in New Zealand tonight at 9:30 our time, and tomorrow night it's the Oli Roos up against Argentina at 8:30 as well. Later this morning, we'll speak to Dean Bulldog Richie. Plenty of mail for us there on what's going on in the transfer situation ahead of the August 1 deadline to fill the 30-man player rosters ahead of the finals. David Pryles, the CEO of Softball Australia as well, as Australia takes on Japan this morning, the first event of the Games. Harry Perryman from GWS coming up. And, well, there's certainly been chaos, particularly leading to that Sydney derby last week for the Giants and the Swans. Damien Cook, South Hooker as well, will speak to him. And they've got... who have the Bunnies got this week? I'll have to have a look there, Loz, but they've got the Warriors, that's right. The Warriors coming off that win against the Dogs. So we'll speak to Cookie, and they've got Jai Arrow back in camp, straight out of isolation to a captain's run.
Yeah, Latrell Mitchell team. Back, Josh Mansour back in that team. Yeah, they're going to have to improve a little bit from what they've been showing us, South Sydney, but I still think they are capable on their day of defeating a Penrith or a Melbourne Storm, just with the attack they have got. But I'm unsure of whether they can do it for 4 weeks in a row. So I think they've got to win, get a week off in the finals, and there's still a chance, I reckon, of winning a competition. But at the moment, the two standouts, of course, Penrith and Melbourne.
News is next.